Okay, let's begin. Sefer Shemos, as we start part two of our five-part series of learning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's autobiography. Let's get into Shemos. So the best place to start with Shemos is obviously certain hakdamos, introductions of various mefarshim to the Sefer, about what the idea, what the Sefer is about, what do we have in store for us, and what could capture, even in a line, the essence of what we're going to be studying over the next couple of months. So let's learn together two hakdamos, one of a Rishon, one of an Achron, and we'll see that really they develop the same idea. Says the Ramban, source number one. Hishlam HaKasav Sefer Breishis, Shehu Sefer HaYitzira B'chidish HaOlam. The Torah finished Sefer Breishis, which was Sefer HaYitzira, the creation Sefer, B'chidish HaOlam. The Yitzira is called Notzar, the creation Sefer of many things, the creation of the world, the creation of every being, and as we'll see, the beginning, the creation of the nation of Israel. Ubamikri ha'avos kulam, shenkinin yitzira lazaram, as the Ramban wrote in other places, ma'isa avos simon labanim, the avos and the imahus lay down the foundation for all later Jewish history. Mibnei shekol mikrayim siyurei dvarim lirmos lahodia kal ha'asid lavo lahem. As we study the avos' lives and the imahos, we can learn and gain insight into our own lives. Ma'isa avos simon labanim. V'acharei hishlam hayitzira, here we go. And after Sefer Hayitzira, more chairs here, Svi, feel free if you want to back. V'acharei hishlam hayitzira, after the Sefer Hayitzira was completed, hischil Sefer Acher be'inyin ha-maisa ha-bam in ha-ramazim ha-haim. Something that flows from the previous, v'nisyachit Sefer ve'il ha-shmos be'inyin ha-golos ha-rishon ha-nigzar be'feirish u'be'gu'ula mimenu. Says the Ramban, you know what the Sefer is about? Golos and Geula. Sefer Bereishis was Sefer HaYitzira, the Sefer of creation. If we could capture, even in two words, Sefer Shmos, it is Galus and Geula. It starts with the beginning of the Galus, the beginning of our first Galus. V'lachain, line 5, Chazar v'hischil v'shemos yordi mitzrayimu misparam. It repeats, though it already said it in Vayigash, it repeats the people who go down to Mitzrayim. It already said it. We know the 70 people who went down, 69 plus Yocheved. So why does it repeat it? Because this is the beginning of the Galus. And the Torah wants to emphasize that. Ba'avur ki yiridasam sham hu reishis ha-galus ki me'oz hu chal. So the Galus starts. When does the Galus finish? So if it's just Galus and Geula, so we should have a whole Sefer on three parshas. Shmos, Va'era, and Bo. Says the Ramban, no, the Galus didn't end there. The Geula did not occur in Sefer, in Parshas Bo. V'hinei ha-golos einenu nishlam ad yom shuvam el makomom ve'el malas avosim yeshuvu. Until they return to the level of the avos. They started with the stories of the avos. We go down to Mitzrayim, we leave the world of the avos, and then we go back to the avos. U'kishe yatsu mi Mitzrayim, the end of line 7. And here is fine. Af al pi sheyatsu mi beis avadim adayin yechashvu golim. Throughout Parshas Bo and Bishalach, they are still not geulim. Ukishabu el Har Sinai, the Asu Hamishkan, the Shava Kadosh Baruch Hu. Only after they had Matan Torah, and ultimately, as we read in Va'era, the illusion of the Dalal Lashonos of Geula, even the fifth Lashon. When they come into Eretz Yisrael, having gotten the Torah, v'hishu shkinaso b'neihem, az shavu el ma'ilas avosam. Only then they return, skipping a few words, v'az nechshvu ge'ulim. What's the last pasuk in Sefer Shmos? Now that we start Shmos, we always good look to the, it's always when you get a new book, you're not supposed to read the last page first, right? It ruins it for you. But when it comes to Torah, Sefer Shmos, maybe it is a positive to look at where we're going. The last pasuk, the Anan covered. The Anan Hashras Hashchina, that's the entire goal of the Eilu Shmos Abam Borei Yisrael Habayim Mitzrayim. They come down to Mitzrayim, the entire goal is to get to that final pasuk as HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mashri Hashchina once again, just like he was Mashri Hashchina with the Avos. So it's the Sefer of Galus and Geula. Says the Netziv in his own words, the same idea based on a diyuk he has in the names that the Bahag gives the Svarim of the Torah. Says the Netziv in the Hemek Davar, his Akdama to Shmos. Dude, I don't know if we did the Hemek Davar's Akdama to Breishis. If we didn't, we'll do it in a future year. Says the Netziv in Surah number 2, Ze'a Sefer Nikra Befi Bali HaMedrash Sefer Shmos. This is called Shmos in the Medrash. V'chein Bahar B'Makomos. V'haramban sof ha-sefer karu sefer ha-geula. As we just mentioned, the Ramban calls it the sefer ha-geula. Zulas Rabbeinu Bahag. The Bahag, the Baal Halachas Gedolos, one of the Gaonim, he has his own names for the five books, for the five Chumashim. What does he call them? Let's read them. Line 4. Sefer Breishis. Chumish Sheni. Sefer Kohanim. That one's good. Sefer Kohanim. Chumish HaPekudim. Numbers. U'Mishneh Torah. A repeat. So anyone looking says the Netziv. The Netziv made this Bahag famous. But if you look, right, what's the problem? Shmos, you couldn't figure a name? He couldn't figure one out. The Bahag racked his brain, and he only could come up with second. Shchumisheni. Everyone, Bracious, Kohanim, and Pekudim, Mishneh Torah, and Sheni. Right, so obviously, what's the message here? What's the Bahag trying to do? He could have come up with a name. He didn't call it Shmos. He didn't give it its own name, seemingly on purpose. Says the Nitziv, Veshusa de Maranzatzal, Nita Lamdinu Bina, he's coming to teach us something important. Shalobachinam Shina Hashem Baza HaSefer. Not for nothing did he change what we are used to, that this Sefer is called Shmos. Vahayal Rabbeinu Likra Kulam, but Mispar Chumash, Sheni Shlishi Vechulu. Either call them all by their numbers, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, oh, Chumash Shmos, or call it Shmos. Dafka, this is the only one? The only one he doesn't figure out a name? Or call it by a specific inyan that is in it. Call it Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim. Sefer Matan Torah. Call it by something unique in the Sefer. Kamosha Kori Sefer Bamidbar, Sefer Apakudim. Elabalo Amdeinu, line 8, says the Netziv, Dizah Sefer Beyichud Hu Sheini L'Sefer Reishis Habriya. Thank you. This is not an independent Sefer. We cannot come to Shmos without the backgrounds and the Maisa Avo Simon Labanim of Bereshis. Ki hu chelek sheni mizeh ha-sefer. We might have said chazak chazak last week, but really there's a bridge. Really, there is eino dome going from Bereshis to Shmos, then going from Shmos to Vayikra, Vayikra Bamidbar, or Bamidbar to Dvarim. By the others, there's really a break. The end of Shmos is the end of a stage. Vayikra is new. The end of Vayikra, end of Kohanim. We're going to start history again. The end of Bamidbar is different. Every sefer is different. Dvarim. There are different rules in Sefer Dvarim. Different rules of how Chazal Darshan in Sefer Dvarim. So every Sefer is different. Between, though, Bereshis and Shmos, there's segue. There, just go straight. It's a fluid connection. Hainu bo nigmar seder habriya. This is the completion of the Bria. Ukamama ramzal bereshis b'shul yisrael shenik bereshis pirish tachar sa'olam b'chlau. What is Bria about? The Yetzira creation? It's about the creation of the Jewish nation. It's not about yechidim, about individuals. It's about the shvatim finally coming together, reunited with their brother, and becoming the nation. Husheyia uma achas chelak Hashem amo v'zelo nishlam asheyatzu Yisrael miMitzrayim until they left Mitzrayim ubo l'tachlisam sheyi reuyim lios v'or goyim l'ha'amidam ayidiyas elokei olam. This is really sheni. This is not shmos. We have to view it together, because that was the Tachlis HaBriya, and that's the Diyak in the Bahag. He doesn't give a separate name to the Sefer. He calls it Sheni to Bereshis. Gives it Sheni to Bereshis. And then Nesiv continues just talking about the fact that we are an Or LaGoyim. That's what he said the last two lines. Nimsa the Sefer Shmos, who Sefer Sheni laharishon, kamo sheima inyan echad, ubo shnei chalakim, shel Sefer HaBriya. It's two parts of one Sefer. Bereshis and Shmos. Maybe the creation of the individuals, which then led to the creation of the nation. There is a thought that I've mentioned many times. Those of you who have heard any of the Haggadah Shiurim, other Shiurim, felt that it was appropriate to mention it here, but it's a great, great thought that if anybody ever heard it, it's worthy of mention. And that is, as the Ramban said, as the Netziv emphasizes, the creation of the Jewish people did not happen in Parshas Bo, Yetzias Mitzrayim. That was not it. That was not our ultimate Geula. There was more. Says the Me'ashi Loach, says the Ispitzer, it's an interesting minhag that we have of eating an egg at the end of Magid. It's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. We eat an egg at the end of Magid. So why do we eat an egg at the end of Magid? Right? Okay, so you can answer the best answer you can give on the Seder night. So the kids ask. It's usually Latinokos. It's always, you can't lose with that answer. Can't lose. Most of the time it's right. But here, there is additional answers. One answer given by the earlier poskim is the Simen of Avelos. What are we having Avelos for? As we know, Chazal tell us that the night of Pate, the first Seder every year, is the same night of the week as Tisha B'Av. same night of the week of Tisha B'Av. Last year, Seder was on a Motzi Shabbos, right? Tisha B'Av was on a Motzi Shabbos, right? At Bash, Aleph, the first night of Pesach is on the Tuf, the same night of the week as Tisha B'Av every year. Beis, the second night of the second night of Pesach, is always Shin, the same night, same as Shavuos, right? Gimel, the third one, is Reish Rosh Hashanah. Goes Atbash Gardaka continues, right? So that's how you know that all the sets. So therefore what? So the Ramah says we eat an egg at the Seder. We think we're Geulim. We think we're out of the Galus. We have Geula. We're Chayav Adam Lurus Zatzvah Kilu Yasim Mitzrayim. We don't have everything yet. We eat an egg, which is a food that an Avel eats. The Sudas Havra, when he comes back, somebody comes back to the cemetery, they have a bread and they have an egg. Tisha B'Av, going into Tisha B'Av, Sudas Havra, we have an egg. It's symbolizing life, right? People are born, people pass away. That's why they eat an egg, Simon of Avelis. Okay, that's what the quoted in the earlier postkit. The Ishbisar has another suggestion. He says, I gave it to you from Rav Mirsky's Haggadah in source number 3. Every being has generally one stage of birth. Human beings, they give birth. They're born. Right? And most animals. Animal has a baby. Mazel tov. Right? They have most animals and most beings have one stage of birth. But there's one type of being that has two stages of birth. And those are the animals that lay eggs. First the egg is laid, and then the egg hatches. Two stages of birth. Says the Ishbitzer, why do we eat an egg at the end of Maggid? After spending 3 hours focused exclusively on Yetzias Mitzrayim, we even break up the Hallel, and we only say the first two prakim of Hallel. Why? Because we want to say Beis Yisrael Mitzrayim, Beis Yisrael Mayim Loes. Hallel, what do you mean? Hallel Nirtzes, after the meal. No. We rush to say the first two paragraphs of Hallel before the meal, because we want to get in Yetzias Yisrael Mitzrayim, because Maggid is all about Yetzias Mitzrayim. After spending so much time on that, we want to make sure that we remember that the Jewish people weren't born tonight. There were really two stages of our Geula. 49 nights from now, we're going to have the second stage. We might have been late tonight, but we're not going to hatch until a little bit later, because you can't have one without the other. Says the Ishbitzer, line 4. Hizbir kiba achilas habeitza yesh remez l'shtei gulos shei Yisrael. It's a remez to our two gulos. L'gulos haguf mishibet Mitzrayim u'l'gulos haruach b'kabalas haTorah. Like the Ramban says, this is Sefer HaGeula. The Geula doesn't end in Bo. That might have been our physical Geula. But our Geula continued until we had Kabbalah HaTorah. Not only that, when we had Ashras HaShechina, Kodesh Baruch Hu coming down and resting his Shechina in the Mishkan. Then he says, line 8, Kol HaNoladim Ba'olam, everything born in the world. Kivan Shenoldu Nigmara HaHolada Bishleimus. Once they're born, it's finished. V'higiyas HaTachlis. Right, somebody's born, that's their end in being born. Now they got to grow. Zulas habeitza, beitza shenolda lo higia ba holada el tachlisa, adai nitzricha lo holada shniya lo holada sa efroach. The chick's got to come out of the egg. So says the Ishbitzer, that's why we eat the egg, to symbolize our next stage of geula. There's another mepharsh that even says, maybe that's alluded to in, we know that the kosos, you allowed to drink anything else between the various kosos on the Seder night. So between the first and second cup, Ikar Adin, you could drink something. Better not to. You don't want to get full. But really, you could drink between the first and the second. Between the second and the third, that's the Suda. You can drink before the second and the third. Between the third and the fourth, you're not allowed to drink anymore. No hefsek. Not allowed to drink anymore. After the Lashonos that symbolize Yetzias Mitzrayim, before V'lakachti, which is Matan Torah, not allowed to have a hefsek between 3 and 4. Can't have a hefzik, can't have a havamina, that the first three, which is all about the Yetzias Mitzrayim, fine, between those you can drink. But between the third and the fourth, you're not allowed to have any hefzik, because you don't have a break between the Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Kabbalah Satara, which is really our ultimate geul. So that's what Shmos is about. Shmos is about galus v'geula, going down and going up. Maschil b'gnusu misayim b'shvach. That might be how we could characterize the entire Sefer, according to the Ramban, and according to continuing with the Nitziv. Okay, let's have another thought from the Nitziv, as we already have the Hemek Davar out. So let's read from the Nitziv. Perek Aleph, Pasuk Zayin. Says the Pasuk, Yosef dies, and all his brothers die. Uvenei Yisrael paru vayishritzu vayirbu vayatzmu b'mod ma'od. Uvenei Yisrael become very plentiful, many, many children. Vatimalei ha'aretz osam. Batimalei ha'aretz osam. How would you translate that? and the land becomes filled, Osam. Osam? Them. It says in the sieve, it doesn't really flow. What word should the Torah use? The world comes filled with them, from them. It says in the sieve in source 4, Batimalei Haaretz, Osam, Mehem Miboy. From them. The land, Mitzrayim, came filled from them. Aval Lashon HaMikra Osam, but it says Osam. So what is the message? What's the message? It says in its sieve, it says Osam, but it doesn't. There's no vav in there, so it could be read Itam. Itam. With them. What's the message? Let's read. Balalamid. The lo eretz goshen levad. Shahayam yucha li Yisrael u'mola mi Yisrael levad. What happened? What did we just read at the end of Sefer Bereishis? Goshen, Yehuda set up shop there. There was a yeshiva there. That's where they were living. All of a sudden, we come to the beginning of Sefer Shmos. Vatimoleh haaretz osam. What happened? What changed? So much so that Nitziv is going to point out in a minute that by the time Makas Bechoris came along, what did Hashem say? You can't come out of your house because next door, I got to kill that Mitzri. And I don't want to get confused. What happened? What happened to Goshen? What happened to the limits, the special neighborhoods? Says the Netziv, obviously something changed. But Olami, they didn't live in Goshen anymore. Ela afilu kol eretz Mitzrayim, shahaya ikur yeshivas am Mitzrayim, mikol makom molah haaretz es Yisrael. Umashmos osam imam. That's what itam. Osam could be read itam, with them. They all of a sudden lived with them. Kamosha Kasa Vesefer Vayikra, like it says Vayikra. Vahayakom makom panui shematzo Yisrael liknos, wherever the Jews could find a house, in Mitzrayim proper, in the big city, in the metropolis. Voladur nisyashvu shama, they lived there. Vahayinu dechsiv makas becharos, what I just mentioned. That's why it says by makas becharos, ufasach Hashem ala pesach, shohayu harbi bati Yisrael, but karib bati Mitzrayim. They had to go around, they had to, Hashem had to jump, ufasach Hashem ala pesach. He had to jump. So now says the Netziv, what's the message? So we learned that they're all mixed in. All of a sudden, the Jews are all over Mitzrayim. There's no more Goshen. Uboha kasuv lahakdim bazeh. What's the message the Torah is telling us at the beginning of Shmos? The Torah is telling us the reason that the Mitzrayim started to hate us, and the reason that we read Vayakam Melach Chadash Asher Lo Yada Es Yosef. Lahakdim bazeh sibas sinas Mitzrayim v'gzeiras hamalchus. Why did they hate us? Why did these decrees start coming? Umachshavas chshad mashalol alas Yisrael. Why did Paru think that we were going to try to rebel? Why were we coats him in their eyes? Says the Netziv, calls that ba mishum shebikshu latseis me ratzon Yaakov avihem, because they wanted to leave what Yaakov's plan was. Sheyatru dafka beretz Goshen kadesh yu badad v'nevdal mi Mitzrayim. Yaakov said you got to be separate. Got to keep the borders. Aval heim lo ratzu kein. They didn't want to. They wanted to mix in. They wanted to be part of Egyptian society. Maybe not the shvatim themselves. Because interesting, he doesn't mention this. But what are the words right before this pasuk? Vayamas Yosef v'chol echa v'chol hador hahu. And the next pasuk, Vatimalei haaretz osam. After the shvatim, after Yosef dies, and the shvatim, all of a sudden they are in. They are in. Umishum zeh, continues the Medrash, continues the Netziv. Shehavach Hashem libam l'sno imo. The second that Jews try to become part of the society that they are in, and they get too involved, so then all of a sudden the nations turn upon us. Looking at almost every century in the history of the Jews, whenever the Jews got too close to the society that we lived in and too much mixed in, Kadosh Baruch Hu said it's enough. Kadosh Baruch Hu said it's enough. It's time for the Jews to remember that they're in Galus. That's what he said. Ki ger yezar achar asher hi yasiba shebachol davadar omdim aleinu lachaloseinu. Bishvil she'en anu rotzim lios kegeir menivdala min ha'umos. Once heard b'shem Rav Chaim Yivalazhin, and we'll see this inside more in a minute. If a Jew doesn't make Kiddush, the guy makes Havdalah. If we're not Makadish ourselves, if we don't remain in Goshen, we're going to get thrown into Goshen. If we don't sanctify our own lives and keep up the rules and the special standards that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us, but we try to be like those around us, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has other plans. So it all started with Vatimalei Haaretz Osam Itam. That was the beginning of the end. Rabbi Forst, in one of his Halachasvarim, in his Hakdama, to Hilchus Ma'achali Akum. In the Sefer on Kashrus, he has the same idea as an introduction to all the halachas of Bishal Akum and Stam Yenum and Chalav Akum and Pas Akum. There he writes in source number 5, Kasev Batara Kedosh Odos Klal Yisrael. It says in the Torah, Hein Am Levadad Yishkon Uvagayimo Yishashav. Somebody very famous said those words, right? Not just a tzaddik. Am Levadad Yishkon, the Jewish nation, Bilam says, will be separate. Uvagayimo Yishashav. What was he saying? Klomar says, Rabbi Forst, Yisrael hu uma levada ve'ena misarevis imshar umos. Kadosh Baruch Hu put it into the nature of the Bria that the Jewish people are meant to be separate. Tachlisam shel b'nei Yisrael lius muvdalim. We are meant to be separate. Ki ena masigim shleimusam ach v'rach b'yosam nifradim in umos utveikim b'ashem. Our purpose is to be separate, connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'oz masigim emes matarasam. And then we will achieve our matara. Heyosam amlechas kohanim v'goy kadosh. To be a light unto the nations. Hamashpiyim u'me'irim me'or Hashem l'kol ha'olam kulo. We're supposed to be models. Just like within our nation, the kohanim are supposed to be models for us. For all the B'nai Yisrael. Right? There's always a smaller group that's supposed to be a model for the larger group. But if we do not separate ourselves, not only do we not function as the light that we're supposed to be, we can't be together because we will not affect them properly, but they will affect us negatively. Skipping a few lines, go to line 18. Al Kain, Tava HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'tchunas Umos HaOlam. Hashem put it into the Bria, into the natural instincts of all nations. She'enam sovlim kirvasenu. Ultimately, when the Jews are involved in societies, the world cannot function that way. B'mida she'anu mizdamim u'miskarvim lahem, ba'osamida hein dochim u'marchikim osanim b'bnei. This doesn't mean that we don't have to have a job in the world. It doesn't mean that we're not involved. But it means taking upon ourselves their standards, their values, becoming acculturated by what they believe in. That's what is being talked about here. And the more we're like them, the more we become distanced from them, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes sure that we don't get too assimilated. Klal Yisrael ha-mizdame le'umos ein lakim ba'olam ein hateva sovla mishem la'ein la'briya tzorch la'tachlis. But the world cannot function. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Bria as a mamlechas kohanim v'gai kadosh, and those who we are meant to inspire. And it has to be that way. Says the Netziv, when did it start falling apart? V'atimalei ha'aretz itam. When we started spreading outside of Goshen, and we made ourselves known throughout the lands, that was our downfall. That led to our downfall. Okay, next source, next thought. This is a short, maybe one minute vart at the, right before Shalom Malos, when everybody wants to bench, and you want to just get a quick vartor right in there before everybody loses their patience. Right, you got a one-liner, Chafetz Chaim. It says the Chafetz Chaim, again, you can quote this any time of year, but it's on this week's Parsha. We know, we'll talk about it a little bit right now, many great stories in the Parsha. The story of the Sneh. Moshe Rabbeinu sees the burning bush. The bush is not burning. Much symbolism. Basnei nenu ukal. Maybe that's the Jewish people. Maybe that's what Hashem is alluding to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Jewish people is. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, take off your shoes. Take off your shoes. Why? Hamakom asher ata omed alav admas kodeshu. Paragimel pasakei. You're standing on holy ground. Hamakom asher ata omed alav admas kodesh. Right? It's holy. Says the Chafetz Chaim ala Torah. Source number 6. Al tomar l'kashe efne eshne. What does it say in Pirkei Avos? We should never say, you know what? That's a great idea. I'll do it next week. It's a great. I really want to start learning that Seder. You know what? Call me next week. Right? It's busy season right now. I don't know when it's not busy season, but accountants are fair to say that there's busy season. But most others, you know, it's always busy. It's always busy. So says the Chafetz Chaim, as it says in Pirkei Avos, we should never say, oh, I'll do that then. Ki ha'adam choshei b'nafsho l'kesheyarchavo es gvulo, Hashem es gvulo v'yotim matzavo. We always think we're going to be less busy tomorrow. We always think that next week we're going to have more time. Oz yaso b'tor v'mitzvahs, then I'll be osik, then I'll do this chesed, then I'll be learn this. Avaloki nachshak zhu b'tzor mitzuk, and that was more difficult. V'lazel mar kasuv, that's what the pasuk is alluding to. Hamakom asher ato made a love! Admas Kodesh. Where you are right now, the ground that you're standing on, is Admas Kodesh. It's holy ground. So much potential. Haynu ba'oso matzava ba'osa shah kodeshu right now. To efshir sharatzon Hashem udafka ba'avoda me'osa shah techuka. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to work right now. He's giving us a challenge. We always have challenges. He's giving us a challenge right now. You're busy now. Now serve me when you're challenged. Habakkuk Mashar Tomidov, right where you are, Admas Kodesh is Admas Kodesh. And he even says in the next piece, again, it was put together by Talmidim. The next piece, right under that. Shal na'alecha me'al raglecha. What is it meant by taking off your shoes? Okay, Habakkuk Mashar Tomidov, Admas Kodesh. What does it mean, take off the shoes? V'chol makon v'chol zman. Anytime, Yachol Adam l'skari v'baro, a person can get close to Hashem. La'avdo l'kayim mitzvotav. A person could always serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Olav rak l'hashgiach. Shelo yeidavar chotzeitz bein olav ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You just got to break the mechitzas. You just got to break the walls down. Got to break the walls down, and then you could get right in there. Kemaim rakasav kevanaseichem avdilam. It's an imaginary wall. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, take off your shoes. Just your feet in the ground. That's it. No separation. That's what symbolized. No separation. Right? The Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. There's no chatzitzas. The chatzitzes, they didn't wear shoes. Shalom alechem araglecha. Take off your shoes, says the Chafetz Chaim. What is symbolized by that? No chatzitzes. Take off anything that's breaking the connection. Shalom alechem araglecha. Right, we have to constantly ask, as it says on line 8, Kodam chayav lomar masa yagiyu masa lamasa yavoseinu. We always have to keep up the connection between our maisa avos and what we are doing. So that's Admas Kodesh, right now. Right now is the time. Keeping along the same story in the Torah, Shal na'alecha me'al raglecha, ask a couple of questions on that story. Number one, what's the symbolism of shoes? Why dafka take off your shoes? Right. Not only Moshe Rabbeinu here, Yeshua Binun also. When Yeshua met the Malach outside of Yericho, take off your shoes. Every time there's a holy place, take off your shoes. Right. When else? Beis HaMikdash. Kohanim don't wear shoes. The ultimate makom kadosh. Why? What's the difference? Them to wear shoes, right? If they wear shoes, the avodah is psula. It's just like wearing gloves, right? You have to wear. So what's the symbolism? What's the sizzle? Why no shoes? Or Kohanim when they go up to duchen, right? Nowadays they go up to duchen, they take off their shoes, right? Why? What's the symbol of taking off shoes? I'll throw in one more. Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur. None of us wear shoes. Right, so what's why? Tisha B'Av also, but that's Avelos, that's mourning. Okay, but Yom Kippur is not mourning. There's no Avelos in Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur breaks Avelos. Somebody's sitting Shiva, and Yom Kippur comes, boom, there's no more Shiva. So Yom Kippur even breaks it, so that's not Avelos. So why do we not wear shoes on Yom Kippur? Why do the Kohanim not wear shoes when they duchen? Why do we take off our shoes when we have all of these Makomos Hakadoshim? Second question. If you look in the poskim, in Hilchas Birchas HaShachar, so most of Berachas HaShachar, we know what it means. Pokeach Ivrim, Malbish Arumim, we know what to think about when we say these brachos. Hanosen Layoyev Koach, right, we wake up in the morning, Kadosh Baruch Hu, give me koach to get through the day. Ozer Yisrael Begvura, that already is a little more difficult to try to figure out. He girds me with strength, Ozer Yisrael Begvura. Ote Yisrael Besefara, he gives me a crown, maybe it's our, we're supposed to hold our tefillin, our yarmulke. Sha'asali Kol Tzarki, he does everything for me. So what are you looking at the Mishnah Berurah? Are you looking at the poskim? What are you supposed to think about when you say Shasali Kotzarki? He gives me shoes. That's Shasali Kotzarki. Right, so what? Why is that the symbol of shoes? Why am I supposed to think that by Berachas HaShachar? So I take off my shoes in all the Makomos HaKadoshim and on Yom Kippur, and when I say Shasali Kotzarki, I'm supposed to thank Hashem for giving me shoes. What exactly is the message here? Says the Ber Yosef, Yosef Misalant, quoting the Shlach HaKadosh, who quotes his Rebbe, the Marshal. So it's really the Marshal's thought. Says the Marshal after asking all these questions. V'kibalti, line 6 on the side. First on the right side. V'kibalti mimori agon achasin Marshal. Sheha'inyan hu k'fi masha amar David HaMelech alav ha'shalom b'malas ha'adam. What David HaMelech says in Tehillim. V'atachasreyu ma'at me'elokim. Man is just under the angels. What does that mean? He is ruler over all of your beings. What does that mean? Line 10. As the Kuzari says, there are four levels of being in the worlds. Four levels of being. Number one, domain. The inanimate objects. The rocks, the dirt, the sand. That's the lowest level of being, domain. Above that is tzomeach, the growers. We call a flower alive, but it's not really alive in the sense like when you see like an animal. Right? It grows. So it's tzomeach. A tree grows. It doesn't have a neshama. So there's the domain, there's the tzomeach. Next level up, the tzomeach, right, where the tzomeach, the grower, comes from the domain. Right? It lives off the domain, the nutrients of the domain. But then you have above the balechayim, the animals. The animals eat the grass, which comes from the dirt. So you have the balechayim above the tzomeach, which is above the domain. And finally, on top, you have midaber. People which the Kuzari calls medaber, the speakers, which reflects intellect, medaber. We are on top of this pyramid. We are on top of the Baal Lechaim and the Tzomeach and the medaber. What does that symbolize? We're on top of them. It means that everything under us was meant for us to use to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything for us to use to serve Him. We eat them, we use them, we use everything. Everything in the world we use, because we are the Bechir HaNevraim. We are the chosen ones of the creations. That's what it means. What action symbolizes our dominion, our rulership over the animals, which are over everything else in the world? Shoes. Putting on our leather shoes. Trampling on the leather shoes made out of the animal skins. That act is a symbol of our dominion, our authority over everything in the world. When we say Sha'asali Kotsarki in the morning, Hashem, thank you for all my needs. Why do we think about shoes? Because putting on shoes makes me realize that everything in the world was created for me to use to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sha'asali Kotsarki. That's the symbol of shoes. Right, line 18. Nimsa shakol tachas ragli ha'adam. Everything is under my feet. Ukishalokeach adam ha'or me ha'behima. When I take the leather, lasos min alam the midrash kafregel to make the with my shoes. Mar ebioter. I show right that I am using the animal kingdom and everything else to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Last few lines of the paragraph. Mavur mizesh yinilson ha'min alam mora al kolach ha'mem shala shal ha'adam. Shakadosh Baruch Hu imshaleu ha'adam al kal habriya. So now it's somewhat obvious. When we're in a makom kadosh, we take off our shoes. We don't have dominion in the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have authority in a makom kadosh. Makom kadosh, we acknowledge that we are not on top, right? We take off our shoes. We might be a melech to one degree, but we know when to bow. We know when to bow. It just happened. Those who learned Daf Yomi had yesterday's Daf. The Daf said that if somebody doesn't bow by modim, his spine will turn into a snake. That's what the Gemara says. So ma kesher between your spine and a snake. So the Maharal explains that a snake was the king of the animals. King of the animals, right? We know the beginning of Parshas Bereishis, Adam starts talking to a snake, nobody makes a big deal. We come to Bilam talking to an aton. What is going on here? How's the donkey talk? So it's like with the Nachash Haya Arum, he called Chayas Asadeh. He was on top. But the Nachash never bows. The Nachash never goes down. Adam, we are king. Melech b'tachtonim. But when we bow down by modim, we acknowledge that sometimes we're not in control. Modim anach lach sha'atahu Hashem lokenu. Right? We acknowledge that He is on top. So if we don't do that, we're no better than a snake. That's why the spine turns into a snake. If we don't acknowledge that, we take off our shoes when we're in a makam kadosh, because we have rulership over everything. But when it comes to a makam kadosh, when the Kohanim go up to Duchen, they take off their shoes. Makam kadosh, you acknowledge that the symbol of the shoes is that we control everything, we take them off. Yom Kippur, we don't wear shoes. Yom Kippur is a day that we're in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is His, it's as if we are all in the Beis HaMikdash. I mentioned it in a drasha a couple of years ago, that Yom Kippur is interesting. There's no mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel on Yom Kippur. Only Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkos. Why not Yom Kippur? The busiest day in the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohen Gadol is running around doing everything. Why is there no mitzvah to go there? Because every place in the world is a Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. Dir Shu Hashem, he goes down, he's there! HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there! Don't have to go anywhere! So Hamakom Shata Omay Dilov Admas Kodesh, the whole world is Admas Kodesh on Yom Kippur. That's what the Gemara says. The Satan has no power on Yom Kippur. How do you know? HaSatan is Gemashria 364. Right, one day a year he's out of control. One day a year is the Chodesh Baruch Hu's territory. Right, it's a Gemara. It's not just a Achronish Gemashria. It's a Gemara. So says the Ber Yosef, that's why we take off our shoes, and that's Moshe Rabbeinu right here. He sees the snare, Chodesh Baruch Hu says, take off your shoes. Okay. Once we're still on this topic, one more thought. One more thought. So we had the Chafetz Chaim, and we had Shal Nalecha by the Maharshal, Rosh Shlomo Luria, and now one more, what we would call a Charifus, a Lumdus. We just had a Machshava, a message. And now we have a classic Maharal Diskin. Classic Maharal Diskin, who is also known as the Brisker Rav. There are a few people known as the Brisker Rav. The Grizz is probably the one that was most known as the Brisker Rav, the son of Reb Chaim, the uncle of Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, but the Maharal Diskin was also known as Rav Shulei Diskin, as the Brisker Rav. So he quotes a Gemara in Zvachim, bottom of the page. If you read the whole Pasuk, Vayomer, Hashem says, bottom right, Altikrat Halom. Hashem says, don't come closer. Shal Nalecha Me'al Raglecha, take off your shoes, because you're standing on Admas Kodesh. Says the Gemara in Zvachim, Daf Kuf Beis, Amar Ula, line 5, Bikesh Moshe L'malchus. Moshe asked to become king. Below Nitznulo. And Hashem said, no way. D'chsev Altikrat Halom, because he says, don't come close. V'ein Halom L'malchus. And Halom is an allusion to Malchus. You see the word Halom somewhere else, that means Malchus. So Moshe wanted to be the king, and Hashem said no. Where in the world from the Psukim do you see that Moshe wanted to be the king? Okay, it's a chazal, halom, halom, zera shava, same word. Is there anywhere in the Psukim, asked the Maharal Diskin, that you could see that Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, wanted to, Moshe Rabbeinu asked to become king? So he says, look, let's read closely. Line 7. Yesh lavid eich muchach, sos me'akos of gufa. Where does it say it anywhere there? The Nirali. Why does the Pasuk say, Moshe, don't come close here, take off your shoes, it's a holy place? What are those first three words adding? Don't come close. Just say, take off your shoes. What is the Kadosh Baruch Hu, what is Hashem telling Moshe? Don't come close, take off your shoes. Pirish, al yamokan. It's as if Hashem saying, don't stand here, move back. Don't come close, go over there, take off your shoes, then come back. So what is the message? Why can't he just take off his shoes where he is? And then that's it. As if Hashem's saying you have to go away first and then take off your shoes. So says the Maharal Diskin, fourth to last line. Eladi Adua to Moshe Rabbeinu, Olav Hashalom Hayachshav Ben Shmonim Shana. Moshe Rabbeinu now was 80 years old, right? He ran to Midian as a lad, been in Midian for a while, and he's 80 years old now. Ve'isa b'chulin chavdalin, and it says in Chulad Yeled Al Kama, what defines a child? Asks the Gemara. What's a Yeled? Amar Abilam Rav Chista Kol Shaomich Al Raglo Achatz V'Cholis Min Alav. Could you stand on one foot and untie your shoe? If you can, you're a yeled, right? If you have to like sit down and take off and untie your shoes, then you're an old man, old woman, right? So that's what Gemara says. The Gemara says if you can stand on one foot and take off your shoe, then wonderful, you're a yeled. But if you have to sit down and take off your shoes, that's a zakein. Right, so Moshe Rabbeinu was 80 years old, says the Maharal Diskin. So Lechora, Moshe Rabbeinu would have to sit down. Lechora. He notes, even though we say Moshe Rabbeinu didn't lose any of his strength until 120, okay, it's Chazal, it's a Pasuk. It's a Pasuk, but maybe he was, you know, still, it wasn't a nace. So Lechora, he was had to sit down. That doesn't show a lack of strength. It's a skill. Alkain, line 3 in the next column. He wouldn't be able to stand on one foot and take off his shoe. He'd have to sit down. But 1 minute, says the Maharal Diskin. Now you have to add this point. Line 9. Alkain, Kivat Amakum Nasa Achshav Kodesh Kamo Azara. Kodesh Baruch Hu resided his presence on this bush. So this area right now has the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. Just like the Kohanim can't wear shoes in the Beis HaMikdash, Moshe Rabbeinu has to take off his shoes. You let us sit down in the Beis HaMikdash? Who's allowed to sit down in the Beis HaMikdash? Ein yeshiva ba'azara ela l'malchei Beis David bilvad. Says the Gemara in a number of places. The only one who's allowed to sit down in the Beis HaMikdash is somebody from David HaMelech's family. Obviously, not in the Heichal. David HaMelech was a Yisrael. He couldn't go into the Heichal, ever. Right? The most Yisrael could get into was close to the Mizbeach. That's about it. Up to there. Right? But David HaMelech, but in the Azara, Angel of Azara, David HaMelech and his family could sit down in the base of Megdash. That's the Shiloh that the Pesukah at the beginning of Sefer Shmuel Aleph seemed to say that Shmuel was sleeping next to the menorah. Shmuel was a Levi. Right? So what do you mean? He was sleeping next to the menorah. So that's a big discussion here. You have to interpret the Pesukah that he wasn't really sitting there because he's not allowed to. He wasn't from Malchut Beis David. So says the Maral Diskin, put it all together. What, number one, Hashem, why did Hashem tell Moshe, move away, take off your shoes? So number one, Moshe Rabbeinu was an old man. Number two, how do you define an old man? Somebody who can't stand up and take off their shoe. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to sit down to take off his shoes. 1 minute. Hashem's presence is on the snap, so it must be that this area now has the status of the Beis HaMikdash. If that's true, nobody's allowed to sit down here unless you're a king. Ah! What does the Gemara say? Moshe Rabbeinu asked to be king, and it wasn't given to him. How do you know? Hashem says, don't sit here. Obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to sit here and take off his shoes. Right? Why do I have to move back? Oh, well, only a king would be able to sit down here and take off their shoes. It must be, says the Maral Diskin, that's how Chazal knew it. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, line 12. Genius. Al Tikrav Halom. Pirish. You can't sit here. You got to take off your shoes. You can't sit here. You're not a king. So that's how you know Moshe Rabbeinu, not just the word halom, halom, but Ein Yeshiva Ba'azara, Al-Machah Beis David, Moshe Rabbeinu have to sit down. Sorry, you got to move back. You got to move back. You're a Levi. You got plenty of power. You don't want to blur the lines between the church and state. I don't know if you can call it that, but leadership and Moshe Rabbeinu's leadership and David HaMelech's leadership. Okay, let's go back to the Pesukim for a minute. Let's go back to the Pesukim. Beginning of Paragimel. Beginning of Paragimel. First part of Moshe Rabbeinu's, our introduction. I'm sorry. Yeah, Paragimel. Perak Beis was about. I'm sorry, Perak Beis, not Paragimel. Perak Beis, Moshe Rabbeinu was born. Perak Beis, Pasuk Aleph, Vayilachish, Beis Levi, Vayikachas Bas Levi. A base man from Beis Levi takes a Bas Levi. Not for now, but the commentaries do point out that why isn't Amram mentioned? He was the Gadol Hadar. He was the Gadol Hadar, Amram, Yocheved. Right? There is not one name mentioned in Sefer Shmos, new name, before Moshe. He's the man. The focus is Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't want to mention another name before Moshe Rabbeinu. But Tarishav, his sister, right? Miriam's name is not mentioned. His sister watches him in the basket. No name. Later on in the Torah, her name is given. All the names are given. But Torah purposely, you know, leaves out the names until Moshe Rabbeinu comes onto the scene. So Moshe Rabbeinu grows up, as we know, he's saved by Bas Paro, and Vayehi Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayehi Bayamim Mahim Bayigdal Moshe. Moshe grows up. We know very little about Moshe Rabbeinu's early years. Nachum Leibowitz points out, we're going to see her words in a minute, this act, the first act that we know Moshe Rabbeinu does, actively, right, he was an object in the basket, but the first act that we know, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayesi Alacha Vayar B'Sivlosam, and he sees their Sivlos, Vayar Ish Mitzri Maka Ish Evi Me'achav. He sees an Egyptian man hitting a Jewish man. Right? He sees a fight going on. Vayifin Kov Achav Vayar Kienish, and he hits the Mitzri. Was this a premeditated, I'm coming out of the palace, I'm going to become part of my brethren, or was this an all of a sudden, once moment, I have to do this? We don't know. Unclear. Unclear Moshe Rabbeinu's feelings, but all we know is he went out of the palace and he broke up this fight. Right? V'hinei Yesem Yom Hasheni, day two. More excitement. V'hinei Shnei Anashim Ayvrim Nitzim, V'yom Rosh Alam Sakariyacha, he says, why are you hitting your friend? V'yom Misamcha Lish Sar V'shavet Aleinu, who are you, Moshe Rabbeinu? Acheno Do Adavar, Paro hears about it, he tries to kill Moshe, the Medrash, his neck turns to stone. Okay, he runs to Midian, and what happens? He comes to the well, a couple of little girls are getting abused, and he takes care of business there too. So Nachum Leibowitz points out, it's amazing, the first thing we know about Moshe Rabbeinu, what do we know? He breaks up fights. That's all we know about him. What do we know about his leadership qualities? He breaks up fights. That's what he does. What do we know about Moshe? He breaks up two fights in Mitzrayim and one in Midian. What's the difference between all these fights? So writes Nachum Leibowitz, it's amazing. If you focus on it, but once you hear it, it's so obvious. The first fight that he breaks up is between Jew and non-Jew. A non-Jewish taskmaster is beating up a Jew. So he breaks it up. How could you do that? Second fight, Jew and Jew. Dasan and Aviram. Right, Jew and Jew, he breaks it up. Third fight, non-Jew and non-Jew. And remember, he got thrown out of Mitzrayim for breaking up fights. What's the first thing he does to get to Midian? He breaks up a fight. That's what causes tzaras. What's he doing? Moshe Rabbeinu can't not get involved. That's what made him the leader that he was. He saw an argument, and he had to break it up. Writes the Chama Leibowitz on the next page. Line 13. Vihine ilu sofer lanu rak mikar harishon. If we would have Torah, would have only told us the first fight. Hayinim afak bakim. We would have thought. V'shem ha'izid drishas hatzedek. It's not that Moshe Rabbeinu is so into yashrus. He has to break up a fight. El ragash achva lebnei amo bilvad. Right, he sees a non-Jew beating up the Jew. Okay, he's got to come out. But it's not such a godless, such an act. We wouldn't have thought so much of him after the first act. V'ilu super lanu gam mikra sheni. And if you would have said this, just had the second story, adayna makom lumafak pikluton, we would have also just said v'shem ein dochev lezalagay v'lumit. What are my two Jews fighting? Jews don't fight, right? So again, we would have thought something special about him. Only when we come to the third one, when A, it's exactly why he got thrown out of Mitzrayim, and B, it's two Midianim fighting with each other. What's it his business? What's it his business? No, Moshe Rabbeinu can't stand it. He can't stand it when there is a argument going on around him. He can't. And he's got to do all that he can to break it up. That's Jewish leadership. Jewish leadership is somebody who gets involved. Somebody who wants to make the world around him a better place, even if it's not the Jewish world around him. Even the Midianite worlds. I'm going to start a committee for the victims at Wells. I want to start a committee, right? The poor young daughters that get pushed aside at the Wells. That's what he did. That's Jewish leadership. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Finally, it's the last thought for tonight. Again, we could spend another hour or two on Sefer Shmos. Just one more thought. One more thought for tonight. Again, from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, the Emesli Yaakov. And he really can't move in any parasha, but especially these parashas without Rabbi Yaakov. This is Rabbi Yaakov towards the end of the parasha, as we know, Moshe Rabbeinu, after much reluctance, he does not want to go. Moshe does not want to go in the worst way. Hashem asks him three times, and he says, no, 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 no. It's amazing, and Hashem gets mad at him. Hashem says, enough already, you're going. The Midrash and the Pirkei Derabbanan to talk about what's really behind, and maybe in future years we could talk about what exactly was behind Moshe's reluctance. But finally he goes, and what happens? It gets worse. It gets worse. Moshe says, what do I need this for? What do I need this for? It got worse. What do you mean it got worse? So Paro says, don't give him Struah anymore. And also Paro says to the Jews, don't give them any more rest. Va'al yishu b'divrei sheker. Perakei, pasuk tes. Don't listen to these false words. So the Medrash says on that pasuk, the Medrash Isa, Malami chayu biyadim megillo shayu mishtashim bohemi Shabbos l'Shabbos. The Medrash says they had scrolls that they used to study from week to week on Shabbos. They had Shabbos off in Mitzrayim originally. They used to have Shabbos off, and they had scrolls, megillos, that they used to study. Lomar shekadosh baruch hu goalon, and they used to read these scrolls that used to say that the Geula was going to come to give him chizik. They had to get chizik on Shabbos. So what they do? They work. They kill themselves the whole week on Shabbos. They read these megillas. Ah, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring the geula. It's all going to be okay. There was a bris ben abasarim. It's only 400 years. It's going to be okay. Amar lahen paro. Paro says, tichbat ha'avoda, take it away. Take it away. Yes, Rabbi Yaakov, do we know anything about these scrolls? Line 8. Heim amatsina b'shemako, mahayu megillas. What were these scrolls? Says Rabbi Yaakov, again, unbelievable. No raya to this. It's his own idea. Va'ala badaiti lomar, what do I think? Dehineim nedayik b'mizmar shir liyom ha-Shabbos. Tehillim tzadik beis, which is the shir shal yom for Shabbos. Mizmar shir liyom ha-Shabbos has zero to do with Shabbos. Ever noticed that? It's not one pasuk in there that has to do with Shabbos. What makes it a mizmar shir liyom ha-Shabbos? Nirish lo nimsa sham shum zeichel yom haShabbos. I'm not doing Shabbos. V'yander Rabba, b'sof ha'mizmar bi'olon shetachlos kavod as ha'mizmar lahagin ki yashar Hashem tzuri v'lo v'lasavo. I'm not doing Shabbos. What does it have to do with Shabbos? Says Rav Yaakov, you know what I think? I think this was one of those scrolls. I think this Mizmor was one of those scrolls that they used to study on Shabbos. Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. Why? Because what would those scrolls talk about? Tzadik Varalo, Rasha Vatovlo. What do you think they were thinking at those times? Philosophical questions. Tzadik Atama Yefrak Erek Lavaron Yisker. Ishbar Lo Yedo Chsir Lo Yavinezos. Right, what does it all talk about in that Mizmor? Line 16, Venir Shem Mizmor Zeh, Haya Echad Miyam Megillah Shishtashu Miyam Yom HaShabbos B'Mitzrayim. Achar Shaparo Hiskim, Paro said, no more. But what were those scrolls originally? This was it. Right, skip down. Yishlomar de Mizmor Zeh, Haya Echad Miyam Megillah Shadon, Rasha V'Tovlo, Tzadik V'Ralo. And that's what they used to read. V'Alkarcha, Pashash Shem B'Nei Yisom B'Mitzrayim, V'Yeroim V'Nim, they saw Tzadikim getting killed. So what did they do? They read these. They read these to give them encouragement in the next column. Luzet Tikin Moshe Rabbeinu. We know Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, David HaMelech wrote Tehillim. It doesn't mean he wrote all of Tehillim. He compiled it. There were a lot of Tehillims from beforehand. Avram Avinu wrote some of the Tehillims. Moshe Rabbeinu. Tefila LaMoshe, Isha Elokim. Right, that one says Beferish. But the various, when it says La Eitan HaEzrachi, that's Avram Avinu. Right, Levnei Korach. La Benatzeach Levnei Korach Mizmar, Levnei Korach. Right, they did tshuva, right? Let's take Moshe Rabbeinu. Finally, lahagid ma'boker chastecha ve'munas chabaleilos. Afilu pshas toga ma'kolus. We have to have emuna baleilos. That was this scroll, and he even suggests maybe that's also Eov was one of those scrolls. According to one opinion, the Gemara says Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Eov. Another opinion says that did Eov take place? Was it true? Was it not true? But Eov, that's what Eov's about. Philosophical problems. Sadek Varala Rosh Vitovlo. Maybe there's another one in the Megillus. So Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. These are Megillus that in the first Galus gave Bnei Yisrael Chizuk. So we, as we start Sefer Shmos, and we start the Sefer HaGalus VaHaGeula, as the Ramban said, we have to remember that though we're in Galus, there is Geula on the horizon. And that's what we, is Merumas, even. The Bali Misparim say, and the Bali Asufos, the Eile Shmos Bnei Yisrael Habaim, Sofei Tevos is Tehillim. Right, the first five words in the Sefer, the last five letters, mix them around, spells Tehillim. Eile Shmos Bnei Yisrael Habaim. As the Golus starts, what saves us and what keeps us going, gives us Chizuk in the Golus, getting to the Geula, part of it is Sefer Tehillim. As Klal Yisrael is saying so much Tehillim now. And throughout the ages, we take chizuk on Shabbos, we take chizuk from our scrolls. Now Tehillim is our scroll. They had Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos, they had certain Tehillim. Now we have a whole favor of Tehillim. Plenty of Tehillim to say. Rav Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu should not only give us the chizuk through the scrolls, but he should give us the chizuk by bringing the ultimate. We should not only read about the Galus V'Geula, but we should experience the Galus V'Geula as well.